New Year, dear people. Welcome back to For Real Season 3, and welcome to a brand new year. Today, I am delighted to bring you some fantastic ways to use all those Christmas gift cards burning holes in your pockets. My guest is Megan Briggs of the Instagram Bookstagrammer fame. First of all, I did not know Bookstagrammer was a word. And second, Megan is very good at her job. The woman has a busy life, 3 kids, a husband she loves, a strange affection for running marathons, and yet she reads hundreds of books a year and gives honest reviews to her following. I have found so many wonderful books through her recommendations over the years, so I was delighted she agreed to sit down and chat with me about all things books. Let's get right to it and listen in to my conversation with Megan's Book Club founder and book rec queen, Megan Briggs. Megan Briggs, I'm so grateful that you are joining me today. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, I'm so excited, Kim. This is going to be so much fun.
I'm so stoked. So you and I connected a million years ago, and I can't remember the details. I just know you offered, I think, a kind review of my novel, Sugar. I think that's what happened a million years ago, and I started just following everything you did. I might be making that up, but I think so. I'd have to look way back. This is a long time
ago. I wish I had a good memory of online communication with people. Once it kind of goes in the messages, it like goes from my mind.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I can see behind you. I'm rounding down to 1.8 million books.
You're close.
This is your life. Yeah. So I don't expect you to remember, but I'm super, super excited to talk with you because you are our first bookstagrammer. What's that word?
What is bookstagram?
It is bookstagrammer. Yeah. Okay, great. You are a phenomenal bookstagrammer on Instagram. I've watched you for years. I've gotten so many good book recommendations from you. You have 8 bazillion people waiting with bated breath to hear what you're reading next. And here is my first question for you, Megan.
Yes.
You have a very weird job. Before we talk about that, I want to know, were you always a weird job person? What were some of your jobs as a teenager? Let's set the table here.
Ooh, I love that. I actually, to really set the table, I was not a reader till about 8 years ago. Yeah, I had really low desire to read. I had low comprehension in school. I was always kind of like a grade behind where I should have been. I tested really bad. So it was always, which is so ironic because my mom is a huge reader. Like it was always like, get mom's attention, get her nose out of the book. And it didn't click for me. I think everybody has like that childhood book that like just gets them going. And like, I did read, you know, the Harry Potter series as it was coming out, which was very exciting, but it was kind of just that for a long time.
Amazing.
So, but I guess like my first job, I worked in a flower shop with my best friend. Her mom owned the flower shop and we would put together kind of like all the greenery of all the vases. And then we would go with her on site for weddings and go to hotels for Christmas and do all of the fancy trees and the garlands. And so my first major in college was actually horticulture, which is
kidding me.
That was a different life. I was like, I worked in the shop for probably 2 years and I was thinking, what a dream to have my own flower shop someday. And then I realized, wait, there's much more to learn about plants than just designing a vase and like a boutonniere. And like, it was way more than what I thought. And so I was quickly turned around with, what actually do I like? And it was English. So there you
go. Okay. Well, the English lands the plane there because telling me you weren't a reader, I have to completely reroute 80% of my questions because I just assumed that you grew up wanting to talk about books all the time. This is new for you.
Yes. Yeah. So what's so funny is I would say probably that seven-ish years ago, my son was born, my third baby was born, and you know, you're a young mom going to the library and story time. And so all of a sudden I would just like kind of look over by like the new release, you know, keeping an eye on my kids.
And sure. Then I've been like, there, look, sister.
Yeah. So you're kind of like, eye over here. And I just kind of would grab a few books, and I joined my friend, had me come to their book club. And I'm like, I literally read 2 books a year, like maybe. Yeah,
I'm and not your target market.
Yeah, friend. I'm like, I'll go for the snacks and the hangout.
Yeah, totally. Really,
I'm not going to recommend books. We'll be lucky if I finish it. And then I just started just like sharing a quick little review on my family Instagram page. And I just kind of would, it was so scrappy. It was like a screenshot of the book cover. It like wasn't styled. It was like a grabbed image from online. And then my best friend and her husband and my husband and I, we went on a little trip to Nashville. And I vividly remember being in this Airbnb kitchen. And she goes, you need to do something with your books. You are reading more and more every single month. And she goes, nobody on your family page cares about what you're reading. And she's like, you need to start a new page and just start posting. And I was like, what do you mean just start posting? Like, nobody cares about books. She goes, I bet you there is a niche on Instagram where people post about books. And little did I know, that was kind of the beginning of what is called Bookstagram. It was very weird. So it's been 5 years. Yeah, it was very weird. And she's like, so then we're like in this Airbnb, and she is a very successful home designer, 1 million followers on Instagram. And she's like, grab a book, grab a mug, maybe like a dishcloth. And she's like, take a picture from over top and just post it with a review and just keep it short and sweet. And then that's where it started. It's so funny. Now that I look back, without the nudge of her and my husband, I wouldn't have done anything.
Okay. So let's talk about your husband, because you've just said you weren't a huge reader.
No.
Until this time. I wondered in my preparation for this very interesting conversation that is not what I thought. I wanted to ask, was it a requirement that you date a reader? Is your husband a big reader?
He loves to read, but he is an attorney and reads all day would not like, he reads maybe 5-ish fictional books a year, just, you know, if we're on vacation or over the holidays. And so his reading is contracts. And for a little bit, I was getting him into audiobooks, but now he works from home full time. So the book, you know, he's so patient with me because I'm always like, can I tell you about this book that I just finished and my brain's exploding. And if I don't say something now, I'm going to forget it.
And he says, okay.
He's like, sure.
The 50th time.
Let me
month.
Turn on some basketball. Yeah. So he's so patient to listen, but that's why it's so good to have a bookstagram, is because I can hop on stories and it's be like, outlet. Okay.
Yeah. It's totally your outlet.
Yeah.
My husband also loves to read, but his work just kind of kicks it out of him. Yeah. I mean, I think of us before we all started our careers, the true self of probably both of our husbands is, I'd love to read. We just don't, it's just not in us. So when we are older, perhaps when your husband's not reading legal briefs all day, maybe he will indulge.
Maybe. He does have a good stack to reach from.
He probably has a couple recommendations that you have gathered for him.
Just a few.
Okay, let's put some numbers on this, sister. We're talking about how much you read, and we're going to talk about audiobooks in a second, but you make a book count goal each year. Where this is coming out at the very beginning of a brand new year. Happy 2024. Yahoo! Ooh, huzzah! And I want to know, how do you decide what number is the marker? Because I believe last year, 2023, I believe you absolutely blew your number out of the water, like by June.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, you're right. I always set the goal to 100. just like rounded 100 nicely.
Now let's do math. Books. 2 books a week?
Yeah. Well, if we're really getting down to the numbers, I'll have an audiobook going always.
Okay.
And then I'll sometimes have a physical, or it will be on my Kindle and I'll read it at night. So usually I have 2 books going simultaneously
at the time. Just
all the time. 2 all the time. But yeah, I give it 100 because if I'm averaging about 9-10 books a month, I know that summertime with my kids home from school, going on family trips, you know, holidays, I try and it's either gonna, the kids are happy and busy out playing at the pool and I can read on my lawn chair, or it's mom's attention 100%.
Right.
It's either like
feast or famine.
They're yeah. ignoring me, I'm ignoring them, or it's mom's right. all hands right. on. So
it averages.
Yeah.
You're averaging.
So I just like 100. It seems like it's attainable to do 9-ish books a month for me. But yeah, by the end of summer, I hit 100 and I was like, this is weird. And so I was like, well, you're going to have to up your goal.
Clearly, you're only halfway through. Okay, let's pause here. Because the average mortal listening to this, her or his jaw just dropped. And they were, yeah. have got to be thinking, how is it even possible? I mean, I read for a living. I read mm-hmm. a lot. I read coaching client pages. I read for podcast preps for 2 podcasts. I'm reading all the time. And I do not hit 100 books a year. So we're going to bookmark this. Okay. See what I did there. Okay. And return back to this because audio is an important piece of this, I think. But before we talk about your insane output, I want to know, how do you pick? How do you choose? I mean, that's a lot of books in a given year. And yet,
oh, yeah,
hundreds of thousands of books are released a year. So how do you choose which ones get your time?
That's a really great question. And I wish I had this like really like thoughtful, very mathematical answer. It honestly is there an audio copy?
Yeah. Okay.
Do I have an audio and physical? Because I like to photograph a physical, but I prefer to audio because I don't have time to sit.
Okay.
So do I have both? Because I need content, but also it's whatever I want to read. So right. even as I've used in past years, I was way more tracking. I guess I was better at tracking pub days for authors to help support them, that you know, a publisher or an author would send me my or send their book to me. And I felt this kind of not like obligation, but there was like, if they sent me their book, I should probably have it read by their pub day so that I could give help my with
pre-order sales and totally. Yep.
And
I get
so
it.
That actually was not for my benefit. It uh-huh. felt very forced. It felt like I have to read these 10 books for the month of October so that I could make these kind of markers of pub days. And in my opinion, that's not how natural reading is. Unless for some reason, you know, I'm being like, it's a beta read, or it's like a paid partnership opportunity where I have to have this done by due date, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But natural reading is not forced like that. And so for the normal reader, you know, there are so many books coming out every single month. And it's like, I think that's why people turn to my page so often, is because they're just overwhelmed
totally.
With all of these books. And so like they're, you know, a lot of people prioritize the celebrity book clubs like Jenna and Reese and Oprah. And I rarely read those books because I feel so forced to read them.
Ah,
you know, that
okay.
people are like, I need a review on The Covenant of Water. You, please read it. Please read it so you can tell me if it's worth reading. And that turns me off. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I love
this. This is so fantastic.
If I'm not feeling like, okay, I'm ready for like my heart to be broken.
Right.
I'm ready to like jump into this saga or this, you know, domestic thriller. It's all led by mood, and that's how it should be just naturally anyway. I do try to have those books read because unfortunately content and like the hype books and the certain things definitely lead to more engagement and more just the game of Instagram is always coming back to engagement and content and things like that. So I try and balance that as best I can, but really I'm probably like the cranky reader where I'm like, I'm not going to read it because you told me to read it.
I'm seeing contrarians.
And then a year later, I'm like, why didn't I read this a year ago? It was so good. But
they were right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I read it when people told me to read it, I probably would have hated it.
Totally. I'm looking at my bookshelf over there and I'm reading two books that are at least 150 years old. I am not the one that jumps on the train. No. So it just takes me a while as well. And yeah. I'm also a little bit snarky about that. Like if that's the hip thing, mm-hmm. well, I'll give it a minute. I'll read it next year. So I get it. I have a quick question. You review only fiction, correct?
Not necessarily, but I would rarely memoir.
Okay. Oh, that was a face for those of you not on YouTube. That was a memoir face.
When it comes to like celebrity memoirs, I will honestly want nothing to do with it. But like there was one, it was a book of the month. Darn. Oh, the many lives of Mama Love. She wrote a memoir and she actually, I can't remember if she like helped ghostwrite or co-write with Bryan Stevenson.
Okay.
And his books and she
interesting.
Was in this kind of the book world and her life was just a train wreck. And so
I didn't know Bryan Stevenson used a ghostwriter or
I can't remember exactly how
co-writer,
something, but she was kind of involved with his books or anyway. But she had a very fascinating life and she narrated her audiobook. Uh-huh. And so one of the cool things about Book of the Month is now they're doing audiobooks. So you can use your credit to either grab an audiobook or the physical. And so I grabbed an audio and I loved her narration. And this was in midst of this summer when I was training for a marathon. And I was like, sometimes audiobooks don't hit when you're out for 4 hours on a run, but her narration just captivated me.
Okay.
And I could not stop listening. So it has to be a pretty juicy story, like nonfiction,
right,
to get you in. To get me in. But
I can't even think of one single thing that would get me to do a four hour run. So that's another way we're different. I need to ask real quick. You mentioned paid partnership, and I'm so curious about this. You create fantastic content. You have a lot of people listening to you, but you do not have ads, as far as I saw on Instagram.
Very rarely.
And I've gotten so much good stuff from you, but you've never asked me to pay you. So many good recommendations. You've never asked for a monthly fee. So how does that work on Instagram for Bookstagrammers to make that a business? Is it paid partnership that I don't ever see on your feed?
this is kind of tricky and I can only speak for myself, but what I found is there is really not that much money to be made as a Bookstagram content creator in the world of books, meaning working with publishers, working with, audiobook companies, they are very stingy on their paid opportunities. Mm-hmm. At least what I have found. My experience is what I'm speaking about. And, you know, after you've been kind of in the biz for, you know, 5 years as I have, when you get a book in the mail, that novelty is like gone. It's not. Do you know what I mean?
Are you kidding me? Like, I've got stacks by my front door.
Yeah,
I just want PDF at this point. It's just too many.
Yeah, it's just the physical book, or it's like I need the book to read the book. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So like that's not like a paid exchange.
Right.
I actually need it if you want me to read it.
Right.
So the research that I've done within like that world, if there's actual paid opportunities, I think it's very few. And so what I have found with trying to make this a business, because it does, you know,
this is a job. Yeah.
This is a job, and being a content creator is a job. And I have found that there's tons of companies that want to work with content creators that might not be book driven.
Right.
But if you're able to kind of work it in an organic way, and there's so much that I post like in my stories about my life, about my family, about marathon training, about like what I'm kind of up to, where people get to know me in a personal way. Mm-hmm. I've had opportunities that are paid, from non-book companies that are wanting like things in my stories, and I can use affiliate links and kind of click back to them. But it's an interesting, I've learned a lot, and it also feels a little disappointing, because a publisher reaches out to me, they want me to create a reel for this book coming out, and they send me a PR box with the book and goodies and things, and I reply back, this looks great, here's my media kit with my pricing for what a reel would cost. They always say back, we don't have the funds for that in our marketing.
Yeah.
That's like the immediate response.
Right.
And then I say, you're welcome to still send it. It just probably won't be featured.
Right.
Because they're kind of reaching out past like the influencer book list that I get every month. You know, it's now moved into, we're now asking for actual hard content.
Right.
That, in my opinion, should be a cold, hard cash exchange.
Right. So how do you balance that with honesty of reviews? Because I have never seen you do a paid situation here. So how do you decide, let's say that person pays you to say something on a reel and you hate that book. How's that work?
So I have had very, very few situations where I've been paid for a review.
Okay. Because I don't think publishers do that very often anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they were all busted a few years ago after one, I can't remember which book that came out, that Amazon went through and weeded out all of these views that were complete. Remember
fake.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
And actually they weeded out a bunch of mine that were not fake. It was a total disaster. But my point is there was a brief time in publishing where publishers would offer goods or money or whatever for people to review the book, and people, that's really been clamped down on. So I'm sure you're not compensated to give a fake review. I'm saying how does that work if someone proposes a collaboration and you haven't read the book and then you decide, ooh, no, thank you.
Yeah. So I've done that a couple of times where I've worked with like book tour companies. Uh-huh. I would say it's a bigger problem in the book tour world because authors, you know, will pay for this tour and there's certain expectations about how many people post about it and, you know, authentic reviews. And I was sent a book from this very well-known book tour company, and the book was, and you know, I try and vet as much as I can.
Okay.
For like, read the synopsis, look at some reviews, maybe one of my other book friends have read it. You know, do you think I would also like this? I don't want to waste anyone's time. Totally. I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
And this one, this book was totally in line. And I'm like, oh, this looks great. And so I read the whole thing, did not like it at all. Like, just, I don't need to give reasons why, but just, yeah, it was not one. And I do not show up, not myself, on my page. And so I sent them an email back and I said, you know, I really, really appreciate this opportunity to read this book and to highlight it. Unfortunately, I read it and cannot put it on my page with a glowing recommendation.
Right.
And they responded back and said, well, you could probably find one thing you did like about it to post. Ooh. Yeah, it was not good. And I said, unfortunately, that's not what this book club does. So unfortunately, this is not going to go any further. And I haven't worked with that book tour ever since. I felt very, it felt very telling of who they are, of that the bottom line is content and recommendations, whether they're real or phony. And I think that's one of the hard things to kind of weed through in this very saturated book market, is, you know, finding the person that actually tells it like it is, you know. So I guess I've taken that on myself. And yeah, it's bit me in the butt a few times being too honest. And other times, you know, most 95% of the time, people appreciate the honesty.
Hi, folks. Just a quick interruption here to let you know about another podcast you might enjoy. My friend Bob Goff and I host The Writing Room, a place where authors talk shop. Whether you are a writer yourself, or you're just curious about how in the world an idea ends up with a barcode, The Writing Room is a place where we talk about all things books. Neither Bob nor I are really into secrets, so we pull back the curtain on how we go about writing and how to have some fun along the way. We would love for you to join us on the adventure. The Writing Room is available on all your favorite streaming platforms and airs nationally on KLove Radio. And now, back to the conversation.
I want to talk to you about audiobooks, Megan, because that is part of why you crushed your goal by June. Mm-hmm. I'm still giggling about that. 100 by June. It's amazing. Prior to our conversation, up to a few weeks ago, I knew we were going to talk and I was kind of paging through some of your most recent recommendations. And I noticed you were talking quite a bit about audiobooks. And I have never loved audiobooks, particularly fiction. I had such a hard time with fiction. Long time ago, I tried fictional audiobooks. I have actually, returning to the celebrity memoir, I did recently listen to Bono's audiobook, and it's fantastic. It is so, so good. But it's Bono. Like, every now and then, he'll like break into song spontaneously. And they wrote special mini songs for the very beginnings of every chapter. It's so good. I would highly recommend that. I'd love it if you listen to that and let me know what you think.
Okay.
But in general, I have avoided audiobooks in part because I am a nerd reader and love to hold the book. Collect. I smell the paper, Megan. I'm that weird. But with your recommendation, I thought I'm going to try it. You recommended one particular, you have actually great recommendations for audiobooks. Oh no. Okay. And I just found out that if you are a Spotify premium person, you get 15 hours of an audiobook every, and I also love Libby, but in general, I've not done a lot of that. I picked up Vera Wang's Unsolicited Murder Advice, or Advice for Murders. That was your recommendation.
Yep.
I love,
you love her.
That book. It was so funny and so smart and tender. And here's the thing, Megan, the narrator.
She's a real person, I'm convinced. Vera Wang is among us. She is real.
It's
so good.
Reader was amazing. Yep. She made, I think you wrote and somewhere. It's only and you one. Feel like you're there.
It's just one.
Just and one woman. She does all of them.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my follow-up. First of all, thank you for that recommendation. I'm also listening right now to the Guernsey book that I have read. I read that a million years ago.
But I've read it 4 times and the audiobook took it to the next level. Yeah.
I've seen the movie. I love it all. So how important is the narrator? Because that's part of why I'm so leaning on your recommendations for this, because I don't think all audiobooks are equal. Having someone read the book, that's a no. And I want your recommendation for this because I'm getting ready to go in and record my new book on audio. I've never done that before. Oof. So give me tips and tricks.
So definitely, the narrator can, I listen to so many audiobooks that to me, when the narration is like a full cast or I can pick it out pretty quickly now where I'm like, this is not a regular narration.
Okay.
Because like I've been at the end of the year, I always like to do my top books of whatever. So like top books of the year or top audiobooks. And since I read so many audiobooks, I did a top 15 audiobooks of 2023. And there were quite a few that I gave 5 stars, like The Gifted School. That was a 5-star book, but it was not a 5-star audiobook. It was done well, I think above average, but it wasn't like it was one narrator. It didn't hit the same way as some one narrators can do it.
So hold on a minute. You were reading physical copy of that book and listening at the same time because you're comparing them.
Have the physical. So I'm like the audio hyper, like I do, if I'm doing an audio that has lots of characters.
Yeah.
Or changes timeline, there's something about seeing the format of the book for me that creates a better audio experience.
Okay.
While it's not perfect every time, but when I have both formats of I'm listening and I am just kind of following along with the chapter headings and I can see like, oh, it's December 1945. Okay. Or it's so-and-so's point of view chapter. When I see it physically, it helps to just remember the story audio wise. But The Gifted School was an incredible book. I loved the story. I just didn't love the narration. And so it wasn't like I would recommend it 100%. I think physically reading it would be a 5-star experience. I just didn't love the narration. And so that's why I didn't put it in my top 15, because those are like the Vera Wang narrations. And there's one that I read last year, but it's called The Family Game by Catherine Stedman. And in that audiobook, she pours a glass of water. You can hear the pitcher, like, I don't know if it's some like she pulls off the top and like pours this glass of water, and there's transcripts and there's like, it just, I remember I like stopped everything and I'm like, she just poured a water glass. Like it was so immersive that you were in it.
That's the thing.
Like so captivated. And for as many audiobooks as I listen to, when those things stand out, like the Lisa Jewell book, None of This Is True, is the most mind-boggling book. I read it physically, and then I got an audio copy from the publisher. It had podcast clips. It had several narrators.
Oh my gosh.
It had news clippings. I was like, what? This is not a normal audiobook. And so when these, you know, producers or audio, I don't know, I'm always like, I want to know more how these books are made. And when they decide, you know what, you're going to pour a glass of water. Like who,
Who decides that? Or did she decide it? Yeah.
I'm
super excited. This is very helpful to me, both as I go into my next book is nonfiction. And so it's going to be an adventure. But they had me plan out. It's an entire week of work, like 5 hours a day, 5 days. It's a lot. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. Quick hit in a couple of days. It's like a thing. And we contracted with a studio. So I will report back how this goes.
Yes, I would love to know.
But I love the idea of immersing the reader where you are. And so I think that's what hit so well with Vera Wang and with Bono's book. I felt like I was in I was in the van with him in Dublin. I mean, it was just fantastic. So, okay. I usually pepper the last part of this conversation with, what books do you recommend? And I'm not going to do that for you.
How long do you have?
If people are curious, they need to go to Megan's book club and figure it out.
Probably the best idea.
You have so many great recommendations. So instead, I'd like just a couple. Do you have books or series that everyone else loved and you know? I mean, that come to mind, that come in up in conversation over and over, and people are like, oh, I loved that book. And you think, no, not really. And the converse, are there books that have flown under the radar everywhere else that you champion?
These are really, okay. The one that I'm
sorry. I'm looking at your background.
Like, I know.
Like a Rolodex in your head. Like,
I know.
I'm asking you to limit.
Certain things pop out, and I don't say this like critically because I work in the book world. I'm expected to read a crap ton of books. Like that's just the expectation. I put that on myself. I want to be able to give as much so that people don't waste their time. There's so many books, not
a lot of options. Yeah.
So I read way more than the average person in a year. And so I think sometimes, not every time, but I do find that people who only read maybe on vacation, or maybe they're like a 10 book a year person, they find some books very hyped up and they like ride that hype.
Okay.
But I read too critically now. I read too many books so that when I see development flaws or like plot holes, or, you know, there isn't like a strong place, or there's, you know, I find these things and I'm like, I can't get over it. And so I'm like, you love that book. The one that comes out, which I'm not saying is good, or if you love it, the thing is, even when I don't understand the hype that other people have for books, I never want them to think that I'm like this snobby reader. I want everyone to love the books that they're reading.
Right.
That's just how I don't want you to waste your time on. Sometimes I'll kind of give a little guideline of like, oh, I didn't love these, but you might if you like these things, you know?
Okay.
Because I want everyone to have a positive reading experience. With that being said,
that was a wonderful lengthy disclaimer before you just say I didn't like
before I offend everyone in the world. The book that I could not understand the hype was The Fourth Wing.
Okay, I have not read that yet, but I've heard people talking about this. Yes.
So
I've heard both camps actually. People who are so excited and then others who
My critique of that book was I found it poorly edited, like just at the core, where I really tried to like take your critical mind off and just enjoy the journey. I found it very just poorly edited. I didn't find it original. It felt like a hybrid of several other stories that we all know about, but I love that people read it because it's getting people to read. Right. So if it's getting them to read The Fourth Wing, then they'll probably pick up her sequel and then all the other books in her series. And then they'll maybe grab onto a different series and that will get them reading. Like that to me is worth, even if I didn't love it, I have plenty to pick from.
Yes.
That I'm not a fantasy reader. And so it's hard for me to like get there, you know, but there's a huge world of readers in this kind of fantasy romance. And if they're in that camp, they're the ones that should recommend those books, you know? So when I read like one fantasy, you know, one or two a year, I'm not the person to ask. And so the good thing about the Bookstagram community is that I'll say, you know, people will ask me, oh, I need a fantasy. And I'm like, you know, my friend Simone and my friend Lauren are better. They read tons of fantasy.
Yeah.
Let's ask them.
Okay. You know? That's great. Any books that you have thought, this is such a great book. I wish it got more attention. I'm sure you have a lot of those, but what comes to mind?
So the book that I think flew under the radar was The Star-Crossed Sisters of Tuscany by Laurie Nelson Spielman. We did that as our book club in 2021, I think, and we chatted with Laurie on our discussion. And it's like historical fiction that feels not history overload, while also having beautiful romance that's not caca, like not overly done.
Did you just say caca?
You know what I mean. Oh,
you have no idea how I know. But it's I used to write rom-com, sister.
Yeah.
Came out on, it's not 50 shades. It's a half a shade. That's what I used to say. Yeah.
It's a half a shade. So like just beautiful romance, but I love that it like just had these beautiful storylines and alternating timelines. Anyway, I always talk about that book. I recommend it to like every female in my life.
I love this.
Everyone would love it. The second one, I think people don't give it a shot. And now it's hard because there is a movie about it, is Frederick Bachman's A Man Called Uwe. And Tom Hanks.
I love all Bachman, actually. I think he is magnificent. Yeah.
He's the best. He's the greatest. But.
And I did not see the movie. Did you see the movie? Should I not see the movie? Because it's not called that. A Man Named Otto or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've read the book, I think I love the movie, actually.
Okay.
I watched both versions, the Swedish version with subtitles.
Oh, I didn't know
I think
there
it's
was
better,
one.
But it's very similarly done. I think Tom Hanks did it justice.
Okay,
he did
great. I'm glad you said that because I love Tom Hanks. Okay,
yeah.
Proceed.
But the book, a lot of people, like that's one that is always debated on. And now I'm remembering all the books that everyone loves that I hated. And that might be a new episode.
That's a different conversation.
There's another one that just came to mind. I'm like, no, we can't open that can of worms. But Uwe,
you've got to say it. Just say the title and we won't talk about it.
Okay. The one that I will get in a verbal conversation.
Altercation.
a feisty combo is Educated.
Oh, okay. I actually really loved it. I fight no one about books, so you can feel free to hate it. It doesn't bother me at all.
It's too long of a conversation to explain myself, but that one was a struggle for me, but everyone disagrees with me. But with The man Called Uwe, I've had lots of people. I'm like, what is the book that I loved that you hated? That's one of the top
that comes up. Okay. I had a conversation with a very dear friend once that I thought we had very similar, often we have similar reading interests, and she could not handle that book, did not like it at all. So something, it doesn't hit everybody, but I really loved it.
I know.
I just have a couple more. Okay. Tell me about your book club, because you have mentioned it several times. How can folks get involved in this? It's the beginning of the year, so this might be a good time to hop on.
Yeah. So for the last, I think this is our fourth year of doing our Megan's Book Club, virtual book club. And in 2023, when the subscription option popped up on Instagram, I thought that will be a great way to take the book club participants and have our own newsletter, our own communication. And it was a paid subscription, but it helped to provide other tools for book club. We had all except one author on our Zoom discussions, I feel like it was just one. And they were always amazing with having these authors on. And at the end of December, I was kind of looking into the next year of how can we make book club better? And I just had the distinct impression subscription is not going to work anymore.
Hey.
And while it worked for that year, it didn't necessarily grow to where I thought it was going to go. And it felt like book club kind of felt stagnant for a few months at the end of the year. And so as we're in 2024 and moving forward, it's back to the whole following whoever is on my newsletter. So that's where most book club information will go, is through my newsletter, and where you'll get the Zoom link for our discussions every month. I'm so excited because January, we have a very big author already scheduled to Zoom with us at the end of the month. I guess I can say it. It's going to be Adrienne Young, The Unmaking of June Farrell.
My friend Nicole Bart was just talking about that book. She loved it.
So this is our January book, and Adrienne's going to be on our discussion, which
wonderful.
Is crazy that she agreed to that. And so probably the best thing is to just follow along, join the newsletter, and be a part of a book club, which means that you have to be an active participant, read the book, engage, comment, you know, all of those good things that, you know, I think now that we're out of, you know, the 2020 where so much was virtual, a lot of people are back to doing in-person book clubs. But I do think there's something special about doing author Zooms and feeling very like just the fun group together doing book club.
So that's great. It's fantastic. As we go, I would love to do a 30,000 foot question for you, Megan. Formerly not a reader, now a mega reader. What's the point in your view? Because I'm assuming there are some days, maybe not, that you think, goodness, why didn't I pick something a little less wordy? You read a lot, you listen to a lot, and you have kids who are talking to you a lot. What's in it for readers to pick up a book and dive in? I have my own answers for this, but I'd love to hear yours.
I think one of the things that I always take away is that you have to find your niche of books. I think that's really important. Not every book is for every person. And when you find that niche for yourself, you grow in a different way that I don't think you can really grow with maybe the regular people of the world. Like, I don't interact with a wide variety of people or an amount. My life is very, my kids and their schools and our routine. And so when I'm introduced to these characters and books that really broaden my understanding, pieces of history that I've never known about, and they're told in a way that's empathetic, that feels raw and real and beautiful, and that life is hard for a lot of people fictionally. And then you think, oh, this is probably based on a real story. Like, there's one book we read this year for book club called Someday Maybe, and it's about her husband that she lost to suicide and her grief from that. And when we talked to the author on our Zoom chat, the story was inspired by her best friend who lost her husband. And she said that I never planned to actually like publish this book. I just kind of wrote a short story that I felt like she needed to kind of just be in the feels together. That I, by rewriting that, she was like, I felt like I knew I could understand how she was feeling. And her friend was like, no, you need to publish this. This is exactly how it was. And so it's things like that where I might not have met her personally and been able to share that experience and vulnerability together. But when you read these people's, you know, even if they're fiction, I just think I have learned so much this year that I hope that I can apply in regular life when those people come across my path. So I don't, is that even the answer you're looking for?
Absolutely the answer. That was fantastic. And that gets to why I write and why I read, which is to remember I'm not alone.
Yeah.
There's something that happens uniquely in long form writing that we can't necessarily get in a news, a soundbite or a quick conversation that just requires your brain and your head, your heart to stay and to remain. And I think there aren't very many spots where we do that. So thank you for your fantastic work in helping us find great books. Yeah. Megan Briggs of Megan's Book Club. I so appreciate your time today. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
Thank you. And Happy New Year. And thank you so much for chatting. This was so fun.
So fun, right? The woman is a force in keeping our to-be-read piles nice and gigantic. I highly recommend following Megan on Instagram at Megan's Book Club, signing up for her newsletter, and always, always having a great book in the next up position on your shelf. And how cool is that? That this is a new passion for her. She did not grow up the nerd I was, sitting on the front porch swing and ignoring all humans who were real in favor of those who were pretend. Megan is a new avid reader, and I'd say it's really working for her. It's just such a great reminder that we are always changing, and we would do well to keep our eyes open for adventures that surprise us around every corner. That's all for today. Happy 2024, friends. Thanks for hanging out here with me. And listen, don't be a stranger. Come back soon, because I'll be saving a spot just for you. For real.